Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love comedy, movies, and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play three aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
I feel like people, when their fathers are in prison, like, give them that respect or anything. But I just feel like my dad is a good person, and I get a lot of my inspiration from him. Because, like, he's a good father, you know?
Hey, it's 50 Cent.
And I'm Charlie Webster. This is Surviving El Chapo, the twins who brought down a drug lord, season two.
At 40 years old, Jay and Peter were now free men in the U.S., something they hadn't been since they escaped to Mexico as fugitives nearly 20 years before. Finally, they were united with their families and could start a new life. But as seems to be the case with the twins, the consequences of their decision are always waiting around the corner. Just as Jay and Peter were starting to get used to another version of their life, everything changed again.
Even though the El Chapo case was well and truly done, the government hadn't forgotten about the Flores family. In April of 2021, the federal government brought criminal charges against Val and Viv for money laundering.
SWAT teams arrived at their home, searching the house, and took Val and Viv away. They were so aggressive, they even cuffed some of the children.
With the permission of their parents and many conversations over the phone with the kids, I asked if they wanted to share what things had been like for them on tape. I got them all together, and we sat on the floor and started talking.
Have you ever kind of sat and spoke like this before, all together?
No.
No.
Do you want to talk about this? I think for me, just especially with, like, everything that happened recently, it's kind of like a PTSD moment. I didn't want them to, like, see me panic and be scared. And so we're just trying to be like, everything's going to be okay, you know? Everyone's just really difficult. They just, like, came in, handcuffed everybody, but left me and her, and she's been through this before. And so I just kind of try to listen to her. So that, it was hard for me because I never seen my mom be, like, treated like that. And especially my dad being handcuffed, I just didn't see what I think I'll see that again. And then I just, like, got me scared. It reminded me of, like, when he was in a visit, always coming out being handcuffed.
That's Pete's children talking. Their son, the one who was born the first year Pete was in prison, and the youngest daughter, who you heard in the last episode, as well as Pete's oldest. She lived with Pete and Viv on and off in Mexico. Unlike the other children, she knew some of what their life was like before prison. We won't name any of the children or give any details about them so as to protect their identities. We'll pick back up with Pete and Viv's son and youngest daughter, talking about what it was like to visit their dad in prison.
Was he always handcuffed when you visited?
Like, when they opened the door, they would take it off right there.
There's specific procedures, like, that you made this rule where we could only hug for, like, 30 seconds, and then we had to stay, like far apart from each other. So we'd be on the back of the wall, and then we would be more out towards him because it's, like, safety issues. He couldn't go to the vending machines because, remember, it's like a box room with two vending machines and a couple of chairs and probably like three tables and then the guard. So they wouldn't be able to go by the vending machine or by the microwave. And then it was just like, it didn't feel like, because going, like, we went to a lot of visiting rooms, and I remember that one. It was just like, I was so uncomfortable the whole time to go visit him. And I remember he didn't have his uniform on, like, this one day. And I never saw him, like, with his uniform on. And he was just wearing a white plain t-shirt and his gray sweats. And I remember being like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that was, like, our normal. Like, we had to live with these specific procedures of taking off our shoes, hair, our bones in our hair, putting up in the little thing, a box.
I used to think I was, like, the luckiest person because I never had to take my shoes off. I think it was because I was probably youngest, so I never had to take them off and put them back on. But as I got older, I had to do it.
I remember, like, every weekend, the guards would be like, we'll see you next weekend. And we'll make sure to remind them to fill up the vending machines.
I feel like a lot of time, I never tried to fit in, like, months of parenting into, like, a weekend visit for, like, 8 hours and less than that. And so a lot of time, I felt like it was just, like, a constant, like, lecture. And it was just, like, constant. But, like, in real life, he was just trying to, like, make up for, like, what he wasn't there for.
I think with us too, I think with Val and I think that Peter and Junior are really guilty of just trying to just teach us something, just or make us feel better, and being these positive people in our lives, even though kind of everything is crumbling, you know, right under us. But, you know, just trying to be that positive reinforcement in our lives, even though they're sitting there in prison. And I think that's where we see that the decision that they made, they went in there with their whole hearts, and they knew that this was going to be the best thing for us. So, like,
I remember I would write stuff down in my school notebook to, if I thought about something to tell my dad, then I would, like, rip it out of my notebook and I would bring it to go see him, because I was like, because then I would forget.
Pete's daughter had so much to talk to her dad about that she kept a list. She wrote everything down so that she wouldn't forget. She'd have to wait a whole week between visits. And even though Pete was able to call home during the week, he only had a 300-minute phone allowance each month.
if I remember something on Monday, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's not going to have enough minutes to talk about this conversation. Because we got only 300 minutes each month, especially in like November's. It would be hard because all my siblings' birthdays were in November. So then it would be like, what, 5 minutes each week? Yeah, it would be like at least 5 minutes each week.
300 minutes sounds like a lot, but when you break it down, it's 69 minutes a week. That's less than 10 minutes a day. And that time has to be split between the entire family. To make it even harder, standard policy in federal US prisons limits phone calls to a maximum of 15 minutes at a time, and you have to wait at least an hour between calls.
I remember my dad would say, I'm going to give you an off day. I was like, what is that? Because I knew that he felt guilty because we were there every single weekend. But then I remember I was like, no, I want to go and see you. Like, I would skip every friend's birthday party and be like, no, I'm sorry, I can't. Or I would skip my sports or my dance events because I'm like, no, I'm going to go see my dad. Like, this is my time. And as much as, like, you know how, like, people say, like, self-care night or like alone time, like him just talking to us and playing like with us or like watching movies or anything was just like a nice unload of like the whole week, because the family felt complete every time we sat down together. And even though it wasn't the way that we wanted to be together, we were still together.
It was always like a weird transition to go from like being with our mom, like in a completely different place, and like going to see my dad. And it was like always like really living like two separate worlds. And I think sometimes, especially as we were getting older, it was a lot harder because we were like, oh, like we have friends, like we want to like do things. And it was like, but we had to be there like with our dad. And so I think that battle of like, yeah, I still choose to come. And I remember my mom, she's like, you are going to see your dad. That's your dad. And like, you have to like spend time with like this, like his time with you guys.
Having friends was a continuous problem. There was always a risk that through the children, the twins' identity and location could be exposed. Pete's youngest daughter was once forced to leave her school almost immediately when the family found out that her friend's dad worked as one of Pete's prison guards. The kids could never get too close to anyone.
I would tell people, like, I moved from somewhere, and they'll be like, why? I don't know, my parents are very adventurous, you know? And then when I said that I'm, like, born there, they're like, how? Why are you here then? Oh, then I have to, like, figure out something.
I had this, like, responsibility to like keep the secret. I thought when I was there was like protecting my family. Something bad would like happen. And so it was always like a...
Did you feel you had to lie a lot? Yeah. And like hide mm-hmm. your life? Yeah. Yes. You're all nodding your heads. Mm-hmm. Feel that you had to lie.
Yeah, I just remember lying a lot at school. You're like, where's your dad? I'm like, he's doing work in California. Or like some
there was
state.
There's always like a story to be told.
I remember we were in a store and this guy came up to us and asked us a question randomly. He's like, where's your dad? And I would be like, he's a New Yorker now. He's a construction worker. And just, yeah, that's where he is. You know?
I always get nervous.
We always had to get, like, we had to make sure that our stories kind of, like, connect. Because if one said something different, we all had to make sure that it matches because it'll get, like, suspicious.
I would always get nervous if I said, like, my dad lives somewhere and then someone happened to have lived somewhere at some point in their lives and they asked me about it. And I'd be like, oh, like, I actually have no idea what the neighborhood is called.
I think that when we switched schools, it was difficult in some way, but you couldn't find a real friend because you're going to keep switching. Yeah. So you're never going to find that real friend.
I feel like even if we did have friends and we created this friendship, a part of me knew that if this, we're gonna have to like ghost them somehow, some way.
I think it's like that for like all of us. Like we all were like, I would hate talking to parents. Mm-hmm. Even now, I hate talking to parents. They just ask too many questions.
My old school, I was there for like the long time, and then when we had to leave, I just like didn't feel like going, because I've changed schools I think 4 times already. I just don't feel like doing that again.
That's Jay's youngest son. Jay and Val have 2 sons, and the youngest was less than 2 months old when Jay went into prison. The other just a toddler.
Baby, the kids are right here playing, my love.
You have a prepaid call. You will not be charged for this call. This call is from an inmate at a federal prison.
Hey, I'm so glad. Thank you for your book. Thank you so much for your book.
Thank you.
Baby?
Hey, love. Baby. How are you?
Hi, baby. My babies are there?
Yeah, hold on. He wants to tell you something, okay?
Okay,
okay. Hold on. Hold on.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Daddy. How are you, mijo?
I think I'm in the book.
Yeah? Mijo, how's school, Daddy? You like school?
Okay.
Daddy?
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, I love you.
I love you. I miss you, Dad.
Hello?
Baby?
What, baby?
He's funny, love. He sounds so good, love.
I know. Oh, you okay? Say hi, Daddy. Come here. Come here.
Hi, Daddy. Hi, Daddy.
Say hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy. Hi, baby. I love you.
Oh, yes.
Love you, Dad.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The following is a high five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Jay's youngest didn't even know his own father's real name until he got out of prison. When prison officers would use Jay's initials MF, Margarito Flores, his youngest had no idea what they meant.
Yeah, I remember the officer would say, like when we would enter the visit, enter the prison, they would say, his name. I was like, why is it say MF? I was really confused. And he was like, it's just a name that they gave me when I entered. So I just didn't really think about that. I just remember him telling me that he was going to come home. And I didn't like really understand. So I was kind of just like listening in shock.
Yeah, I can imagine. Especially because you'd only known...
Yeah, I only like knew him from there. Yeah. From the visit, so...
Yeah. What was it like when he actually came home? Was it strange? Because you weren't used to that, right?
I just feel like really different.
Yeah, in what way?
It's just like a way different environment and different people, and him just being able to like hug you or like just like be with you.
It was a big adjustment when the twins came home. Jay's youngest son had never known his dad outside of prison. Neither had Pete's youngest son and daughter.
When he came home, like, I remember him just like, he was like mesmerized by everything. And like, I was teaching him how to use a phone and like how to do this, you know? And I was so like shocked that he was home that I would just want to like, I would look at him. I couldn't believe that he was home. I just like, I remember him sitting on the couch and I was like, it's so weird. That's just not normal. Or like he came and said goodnight, and I just got like so freaked out because I was like, oh my gosh.
I remember like when he first came home, I spent months just like wanting to like be there and like followed him around, like doing anything.
We got a haircut together at a bike shop, and bikes were my dad's favorite thing. Now, every day, like, I go downstairs and then I see my dad with his coffee, dark coffee, his daily devotional and his Bible with his phone and his pajamas because it's in the morning. So it's crazy. I get to wake up to that now. I just feel like my dad did, like, such a great job. Even, like, in a small visiting room, being watched by a guard. My mom and dad put a lot of time into us. And so it's my deal, my aunt. They put a lot of time into their kids. That's like a resemblance to this family and how good of parents they are. And they could put the most important things aside, but their kids are just their main part to their family.
I think it's also actually a lot about you all sat here, because I think your parents have done a great job, but it says a lot about you too. It's not just your parents, it's what's inside you too. The fact that you can sit and talk like this. And it's like really mature.
Yeah, I think that like, it's not like, we shouldn't forget about going to visit our parents every weekend. And it's something that we should continue to remember because it was part of our childhood. And there are a lot of like life lessons and memories and experiences that, although it wasn't in the best environment, it was still important. There's a lot of parents out there who we probably were able to see our dads more than other kids. And we were lucky enough to have like the experiences we had because we still had great times. Like we would watch movies, we would play board games, and we would talk about like TV shows or like music and what songs we were listening to. And so, or like how our school day was. And we should be thankful that we were able to have those because a lot of other children don't.
I find it amazing that you're so like grateful for the, you know, the way you're talking is like, you know, even what you just said, you're like, we're blessed to have that. Is there any part of you, any of you, do you feel angry at all? And I think anger's okay, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, I just wonder if any of you feel anger at all.
I just, like, I'm not angry when my dad ever did in his past, but I just feel like I was angry for the time. But I feel like every moment was just like a blessing. But I would never be angry at my dad for something like that.
How about you?
I think during the time and during all those years I was angry, and like I remember I would cry every time, like every Sunday after we would have to leave. But like now reflecting back on it, I'm thankful because like it could be way worse. We have such a like great connection to our parents, and we have so much love for each other, and I'm just thankful for all that.
Yeah, I think like growing up, like there probably was like a point where like, I don't know, like I feel like when I was younger, I learned about everything. It's kind of like, oh, why would they do that? And I didn't really like understand at first, and like sometimes I would be like angry, but then I would just feel like, at least I have them. And then it just really changed the anger into like you're grateful that like at least like they're here.
Are you glad they actually did what they did? Are you glad that they did go to prison so that they don't live like what you've heard?
Yeah, yeah. Like sometimes I think like if they didn't, like we all couldn't be here. And it's just like that really like changes it.
Or if like they don't turn themselves in and they have to like be able to, the police have to go get them and get caught one time, then for that it's just like life probably. So
you'd always live in that fear. Yeah.
Even though the twins are home, the kids have lived in fight and flight their whole lives, always on edge, in constant stress and fear. Living in this heightened state of trauma isn't something that just goes away overnight.
It's like a rush panic. You just hear like the words, like they're coming.
You remember like kind of almost listen out for sounds.
Even like a ring on the doorbell. And I like have gone like run test like someone rings doorbell and they just like walk up and I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Aren't you gonna hide? Like why remember, like who's here?
I remember us just like someone we'll be eating at dinner at our table or like just being anywhere in the house and I hear a doorbell and my mom and my dad would just like just don't go towards the door, just hide. And then they'll go look and see if it was anyone. And yeah, when I would go to my friend's house and someone read the door, they just go straight up and just open. And I was like, I was still confused.
Even if like you're in the car, you see some like a car following you for too long.
So like when my dad was in prison, my mom would hear a doorbell, all three of us would just look at each other and then we'll go and me and my sister would go and my mom would open it and end up being like a package delivered. And it's crazy because like we had to live through that anxiety.
I feel like it kind of still ruins my relationship with like my friends now because I can't like have them come over and be like, I have to like tell my parents, like, you know, my friend's coming over, what's your name gonna be? And you know, like just like kind of like stay on like, just don't talk about anything about our life.
I feel like it definitely separated you from like getting super close to anyone because like there's always a part that like you couldn't share. So I think that's why we're so close, like as cousins and siblings.
I think after everything that we've been through, we still have like this paranoia in the back of our head, just of everything. And a part of me, it feels like I'm a little prepared of if anything does happen again. But them being home, it's just like a little more like you gotta like calm down a little, you know. And I think my dad being home, I could like, you know, go to sleep at night knowing that like I'm safe with him. And I could go to sleep knowing that my mom's asleep and that she's okay because he's home.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
As for the twins, coming out of prison was a fresh start. Finally, they could be with their wives, their children, and each other. No more yelling through doors, no more communicating through wives, no more 15-minute phone calls and visits monitored by guards, no more shackles. They were free.
What was it like when you first saw Pete out of prison? What was the moment?
Well, we had spent so much time apart that I was so nervous. It was emotional for sure.
What kind of emotions?
Just like every type of, like, sadness, happiness at the same time. I'm still a little bit shocked that the fact that we were actually back together again. It also was, I felt like there was a void for sure. And I think that hurt the fact that, you know, I'm seeing my brother and I'm like, it's everything still the same, but we're just a little bit different now. You know, 12 years, I left him when I was 28. You know, now I'm 40.
It's like a lifetime, 28 and 40.
And I have those same memories, those same thoughts, but I know that we live two different lives and now we're not seeing things the same. You know, we've been to different situations and like, even the fact that he has a son now, I mean, right? That he was a part of and that I wasn't. You know, I got to see my nephew, but even that part, right? Where just different things. I could feel the void for sure. And that hurt me. It's something I'm never going to get back, right?
Do you think you just both really changed?
I think as you get older, everyone changes.
Yeah.
And it's simple, like, well, it's not simple. I think, like, when you have a life partner, right? And you're growing old together, you guys are changing. And sometimes I think that could be a little bit hard. I realized that today, like, with my brother, because if you're growing together, you're growing together, you know? You guys are getting older and, you know, things change, right? If your life partner is with you, then they get it. But if they're not, now you're not the same person anymore. That's kind of hard to adjust, especially if you have expectations or you know people to be a certain way. And I would say, like, I'm not the same person I went in prison. If I was, then I failed. I feel like I'm more mature. I think I'm a better man overall.
I'm definitely a lot wiser. Jay has just, he's grown into like everything a woman could possibly want in a man. I think when it comes to a husband, when it comes to a father, when it comes to a best friend, he's matured so much and he's learned, like he said, always through his hardships and always through struggles. I love the person that he is today and I love the person he was yesterday, but there's just something so different about him. And when Jay and Peter saw each other for the first time, I was there and it was emotional for everybody, including our children, because we're such a close-knit family.
Yeah.
But they were like kind of looking at each other across the room at times. And I would catch them strangely like looking at each other and just trying to figure each other out.
So
do you recall that?
Yes, I do recall that looking, because I saw my brother in Zoom. And of course, anyone that does know us, in between me being home, there's a lot of arguments. A lot of arguments that didn't change, but seeing there was like almost like I'm seeing him be a father and a husband again, like something I haven't saw. And in a way, kind of seeing myself, and it was kind of like, wow, a good feeling. Like I got to see this again. I got to see my brother. I got to see myself. You know, my kids, they don't even remember what it was like to see me and my brother together. So it was, for my baby, it was a shocker. Like, he was like, wow, you guys are twins, you know?
Yeah, because he'd never seen you two together. What was the first thing you did when you saw each other?
So he was coming through the door. Then first the kids came. And I knew that he was kind of lagging behind because he was nervous. So the kids ran in and like saw me and were like, oh my God. And he was like making small steps, almost like if you're gonna see your wedding bride for the first time. That nervousness, that butterflies in your stomach, he looked different to me. I probably looked different to him as well, right? And like, we didn't say much. We whispered in each other. You're like, I love you, I think. Like, and we just hugged each other tight. And didn't say nothing, but just cried and stood there. It was quiet. And I could hear everyone else being emotional. And I'm I remember telling, like, just looking around, looking at everybody in tears and thinking, wow. You know, all the kids were crying, our family that was there, it was like, it was surreal, like, to be able to hold them again and after all we've been through. And it's like, this is the moment we waited for, right, for such a long time. And it was a feeling of fulfillment as well.
Like, that you made it.
For sure, that we made it, that we were just there. It lasted for a long time. Just being there with a man. And just, you know, it was emotional.
Life after prison wasn't as simple as just picking up where they left off. At sentencing, Judge Ruben Castillo said that the twins would always have a life sentence, that there wouldn't be a day that goes by that they wouldn't have to look over their shoulder. But it's not only the danger of if the cartel will come for them that makes adjusting to life after prison a challenge. Jay and Pete had to reinvent themselves once again. What does a normal life look like for people that have a past like the twins?
So it's weird, even though I'm living this normal life, I can't have normal friends, I can't do normal things.
I think that a lot of people that are normal, they just want to know your story. They want to know, like, everything about you.
It makes it a little bit hard. Like, if I didn't know them before, it's just like...
What do you say if somebody says, what do you do? Because that's a real common question.
Right now, I have a job, so right now, this is what I do. And
what people say.
And that profession is going to be like, oh, this is what I do. And like, oh, okay.
What brought you here?
So I have a script where I say, my wife's family lives here.
What did you used to do?
Real estate. So I'm not from here. Like, yeah, I just, you know, my wife's family, we just moved here.
Yeah. It must be hard because you've got to constantly edit yourself.
I guess people can't even imagine the afterlife, right? And I heard even regular people who've been to prison kind of shy away from saying those things. And where you been for the last 10 years? Like, what you been doing? And it's like, wow. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is say, I was in prison.
Jay told me this great story about the first time he went to a bar since coming out of prison. He was with his nephew, his older brother Armando's son.
So it was a new experience for me. And we go to this bar, a bunch of young kids, you know, probably younger than 21, college kids. So I'm like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm a chaperone, so I'm like, just trying to fit in. And I look and I see that there's like these three guys. And I'm like, oh my God. They've been to prison. I could tell.
How?
Just their demeanor, kind of stiff, kind of like they don't belong there. They're like in the young crowd. So I'm saying that gap between, you know, they're going back to what they missed in my head. And I told my nephew, I said, wow, look at those guys, you know, they're convicts. And he's like, get out of here. Why do you say that? And I was like, I could tell just by the demeanor. And he was like, no, no. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, how would we know? I said, oh, easy. I said, can I have three beers? Then they're standing there and I tap them. I said, excuse me. I said, how long you been home? And he's like, excuse me? I said, how long you been home? He said, is that noticeable? I said, yeah. He said, I've been home for a year. He's been home for 8 months and he's been home for a month. And I said, yeah, I could tell. He's like, wow, how do you know? I said, experience. And he's like, wow, like, I mean, you're just making me see something. And I just end up starting to talk to him. And I call my nephew over. I said, hey, you know, this is so-and-so. They just came home. And he's like, Franca, how'd you know? And I said, it's just out of experience, but just tell me one thing. Do I seem off to you? He's like, no, not at all. I was like, okay, great. Thank you. I'm doing good then. You know, because that was one of the things we talked about the most is, was I going to be able to like just fit in again?
And not feel uncomfortable or awkward or feel like you couldn't, you know, keep up with like what's happening.
So I would read a lot. Like I would know how to like use certain electronics through watching Wired. You know, I would read Wired or like these tech TV shows or whatever the case is. And sometimes I'll be like, I'm having trouble. And I'll be like, oh, you could do this. She's like, how the fuck do you know?
Did you have access to information? Like, did you know what was going on?
Well, thanks to my wife. Yeah. I would literally, I think I was like, I had 80 subscriptions for magazines.
For magazines, yeah.
And 80 subscriptions for magazines.
And I had like six of the major newspapers.
The New York Post,
Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, New York Daily News, and just I would get all these newspapers. So I would look at everything, especially, you know, it helped when I was locked down. It kept me.
Yeah, and he would even like.
Actually, to this day, if you look at my phone, I actually try to keep up with all those magazines that I.
Do you?
Yeah. Look.
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like I. Sign up and I. If you look at my magazines,
Vogue, Esquire, Newsweek, Forbes, Rolling Stone, Fortune, Motor Trend, New York Magazine, New Yorker, Bloomberg Businessweek, Wired, US Weekly, Billboard, Car and Driver, Fast Company, Elle, Vanity Fair, People, New York City Life.
I never had a normal life, so people don't understand. Like I never had a bank account. I had a lot of money, probably didn't fit in the bank, but I never had a bank account. So getting used to these things and like, you know, I was able to take my kids to school. With them, I attended, you know, my first parent teacher conference. And I'll tell you, as intelligent as I think that I was or what other people might think, I have no knowledge of what to do or how to act or how to be. Because I'm so experienced with so many things in life, but except for the simple things that people might take for granted on an everyday basis. Taking your kids to school, like going to the bank or how things work. I mean, I practice sending emails to teachers. I'm scared of the things you do every day. She made me take the kids to the doctor by myself. I called her.
Booster shot.
I called her 100 times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like.
Like, you got this.
You got this. She sent me to the bank one time by myself.
Panic. Like, wait, what?
What?
What do I do?
I can't say no to her because I'm like, it's. I know this is a test. I know she's preparing me and I don't want to let her down. And I'm learning still, you know. I know I have a lot of cleaning to do and. Keeping things in order. Because I do ask her, like, how important, you know, how important is this to you? And she's like, everything's real important, right? But like, how important is it for the kids clothes to be ironed all the time?
I think so.
Even if it's like basketball clothes. She's like, important. So we have those conversations and it's like, I realize what it took. To be by herself for all those years. I see it. And people might think, wow, it's obvious. It's the things that we take for granted every day that people don't realize that. If you're able to take your kids to school or you're able to come home a little early one day and pick them up and surprise them, those things matter because there's plenty of people around the world that don't get that chance.
Just as Jay and Pete were starting to get used to yet another new version of their life, everything changed again.
When the feds came to the house again, for me and for Viviana, it was scary. And I think that the way that they came to the house was very disturbing. when I seen them surround my house and they came in with the SWAT team and army garb and shields and helmets and AR-15s, I couldn't believe that they came in. They, you know, were ready to knock the door down. When I seen them coming, they were like just holding each other's shoulder and it looked like a bunch of soldiers in front of my house, like if my kids are playing Call of Duty. And they're marching up the street to come to the house. And I remember running to my son's room, waking them up and telling them, the feds are here, the feds are here. Get up. And we're talking about children that are not accustomed to this upbringing. They're not, they were sheltered. We put our children in a bubble because we didn't want this cartel that to affect them in any way. We didn't want them to have to ever like go through any of this. I ran down the stairs and I opened the door. I didn't want them to break it. And I just right away put my hands up and put my hands behind my back. And I think like, I'm like, okay, I'm fine. You could take me now. And it wasn't until they walked into my house and they were had AR-15s to my children. And they cuffed my son, and he's a minor. At that point, it's like, as a mother, think like you just go into like survival mode. And I feel like I don't remember. I kind of blacked out what happened.
You know, SWAT team came for Valerie and she fought them. They dislocated her shoulder. They mistreated her.
You know, I just wanted them to not cuff my son because he doesn't know this life. He has no clue what this life consists of.
When the feds came, right, I had to spend 2 days in jail. And it was, I didn't even care about anything, but I just didn't want to be with people. I was like so scared. So I asked the CO there, and I asked him if he can put me in a room by myself because of the fear that I have. Just always lingering in my head. So they put me in a room by myself. I was just like watching everybody from the little window. This is so scary. Like, never can I ever like want to be in a position where I'm with other people that know who my family is.
I remember, you know, Peter telling me through the years how he felt in like a prison cell, and I was just like looking around like, I can't believe it's me. And then I took his advice, and I remember like things he would tell me. I did clean like the toilet seat, the sink. And then I saved like a little bit of my food. Just cause, you know, I listened to, you know, everything that he went through with all my heart. Everything that we would talk about on our weekends, or, you know, just try to be more than a wife, be his friend, and just hear him out, what it was like for him to be there. I just like grasped onto little things that he would tell me that he did. And it was just an ugly time. I got sick from drinking the water. The water was terrible. And I was just like thinking to myself, like, I was so worried about the kids.
The reason why we chose to not tell our children
who their dad was because we wanted to shelter them. And we didn't want them to go through this. Because this is the same exact thing that Peter and Jay went through when they were kids. And the whole reason why they felt like they wanted to like end this and they wanted to like end this cycle. And they didn't want their children to go through anything that they ever went through. And it's kind of like, why did we do this? Like, look what we did to our kids.
Surviving El Chapo, The Twins Who Brought Down a Drug Lord, Season 2, is hosted by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and me, Charlie Webster. Produced by myself and Jackson McLennan. Assistant producer and research support by Casey Hertz. Edit and sound design by Nico Pellella. Theme music and original score by Ryan Sorensen. It's executive produced by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and me, Charlie Webster. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson presents a Lionsgate Sound and G-Unit Audio production exclusively for iHeart Podcasts.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you love comedy movies and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play three aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.